Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Paddock Project. F1 is back with a dominant performance from McLaren that shows that we have a full constructors battle on our hands for the rest of the season. It was McLaren's first win from pole in over 10 years, and the 20-plus second margin of Lando's win was the biggest gap we've seen yet this year. We absolutely cannot wait to discuss. And also this episode, we'll be talking about F1 Academy's return. They had a race weekend in Zandvoort this weekend as well. I'm Sarah.
I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, let's jump into our overall thoughts and takeaways. I was thinking about them as I was flying because I took a flight this morning right before or right after the race. And I think the biggest thing that stuck out in my mind was the really big gap that Lando had on Max the whole time. Like, roles were really reversed. I don't think we've seen anyone have that big of a gap in P1 besides Max in a while. So that was really, really interesting. And yeah, I think overall I'm just really excited to see someone else fighting, albeit there wasn't as much wheel-to-wheel action as I hoped, but I have to give a special shout-out to that amazing, like, five-wide banked turn that happened in the middle of the race. That was also amazing.
Yeah, I think this was a great first race back from summer break. It gave us a lot, and it's kind of crazy that it was only Lando's second win. I know he just had his first win in Miami, but it sort of feels like he's had more. I don't know.
Totally.
It felt right that he won, I guess. So anyway, yeah, totally crazy gap. I think it was the biggest gap since Hamilton in 2021 in like Saudi or something, if you don't count Max's dominant wins over the past several years, which is crazy. And yeah, Sarah, like you were saying, it was the last time a McLaren won from pole since Lewis in 2012. So literally 12 years
ago. Insane stat.
Wild.
Amazing.
It's going to be so fun to watch the constructors battle over the next several races. We did a poll on Instagram asking who you think would win, and over 65% of you said McLaren, which they're still 30 plus points behind Red Bull, but trending that direction. And I think only 11 or 12% of you said that Red Bull was going to win, which is crazy. And then the rest said it's too soon to tell, which is probably true. We still have a lot of races to go.
People are very bullish on McLaren. I was not expecting that type of poll.
It's recency bias, I think.
100%. Totally. And it's definitely wishful thinking, but recency bias is what I was trying to say. But yeah, that's exactly right.
F1 has huge recency bias because just so much can happen in the span of a few weeks. Remember after Monaco when everyone was talking about Ferrari's back, Ferrari golden days? things switch so quickly.
They really do. I will say I was very impressed by Max's performance, just given the car did not seem to be cooperating. He said that he wasn't even really able to turn or have any grip on certain parts of the track. So pretty awesome that he got a P2 given all of that. I definitely want to unpack the Ferrari roller coaster of a weekend. Charles before the weekend said that it was going to take a miracle after quali to get on podium, and he did. So that was crazy, but they did not have the best weekend overall besides the podium, obviously, which is amazing. And yeah, that midfield going 4 to 5 wide on the straight was just chef's kiss. I think Albon was like, this is incredibly dangerous.
Yes. Which is crazy. Again, like we always talk about this, but when you're a driver in your peak moment, the fact that you like are able to go on the radio and complain or not complain, but just like say whatever you're thinking in this case, that it was so dangerous, is insane. Like I would just be focused on trying to stay alive.
Yeah. Crazy.
I was just stunned by this performance from Lando and McLaren. A 20-plus second win is almost unfathomable. And if you had said that at the beginning of the season, we would have said that's absolutely not true if it's not Max. We have not seen, like Tiggy was saying, we have not seen a win that dominant from a non-Red Bull team in years. Was also so happy for Charles. He's just had a really rough run recently, and a drive from P6 to podium was super impressive when he had to get through Checo, George, and Oscar. Carlos also drove from P10 to P5, so Ferrari really turned around on Sunday, which was impressive. And also shout out to Gasly for getting points. There was not a ton of wheel-to-wheel action, it felt like, but Gasly was at the center of most of it.
That's very true.
He held his own.
He held his own with much faster cars, including Carlos. It was great to see.
I was happy for the Alpines. I think they said that their goal is to be like consistently getting podiums by 2027. So maybe now is the start of a new era for them. They need it.
2027, fingers crossed. I hope they do well in the regs change. It feels far out.
It feels way too far out to be saying we want to consistently get podiums. But whatever.
A lot of unknowns.
How about MVPs and LVPs? I don't really want to say Lando because I feel like everyone is going to say Lando, but Lando, it's almost like Max in his heyday where it's kind of such an obvious choice. Lando's drive was amazing. It was – the start was tough. It didn't seem like his fault. We'll talk about this. Mostly seemed like car problems, but great for him to stay so cool under a lot of pressure when he wanted that win so badly. Like I just said, I was really impressed by Charles and Gasly. So I would say maybe overall Ferrari on Sunday, specifically on Sunday as an MVP.
Ferrari on Sunday when it's raining on an odd day of the month. Yes, totally. I would agree with that. I also think Lando definitely deserves it, although it was funny in the Discord. People were talking about, like, let's not vote for Lando for driver of the day because he always gets it. I think he's gotten seven or eight times this year. And it's like a meme now that people keep voting Lando driver of the day regardless of what happens. So it's kind of a bummer that people are like, yeah, I won't vote for Lando when he really deserves it. But I thought that was funny. I'm going to go with Gasly and Hamilton. I think Gasly, it's no secret that the Alpine has been really hard to drive, and he really outperformed Ocon this race as well. And I just think, fresh off of knowing who his teammate is going to be next year, I mean, I'm sure he's known for a while, but now that everybody knows, vibes are starting to feel better. So hopefully that they're on, hopefully they're on an upward trajectory. And then, yeah, Hamilton, I think driving from P14 to P8, just a really incredible drive from him as well. So not what they wanted, but I'm happy that he made that up.
Yeah, that's good. And they put him on a good strategy. Like, he was the only driver to start on softs, and it worked for him to get the places that he needed at the beginning. You guys covered a lot of the MVPs. I think my big MVP is just going to be the impending constructors battle that I am foreshadowing. That's going to be really amazing. And then, okay, I'm going to half jump into LVPs and slash stay with MVPs right now because I don't know where I want to put Checo, if it's an MVP or an LVP, because P6, given his past couple of races, is like decent enough for me to give him an MVP, but also is enough to give me to give him an LVP because he needs to do way more than that to help Red Bull and constructors battle. So I've never done a meshed MVP LVP, but that's mine.
I think in his defense, it just seemed like the Red Bull car wasn't great this weekend. Yeah. So P6, all things considered, I think
it's still pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would fall more on the MVP over the MVP fence side of the fence.
I like it. I like it.
For my LVP, I'm going to give it to Williams. I just think it was a really tough weekend between Logan's crash and practice. That was fiery and they couldn't really turn the car around in time for quali, and then Albon getting disqualified because of his floor not being within the regulations. I think that's just kind of a messy weekend for them, and not really being able to make it up too much or get any points, which, you know, they haven't had a million points this season, but it would have been nice to see them do a little bit better.
For me, it's steak with a P19 and P20 finish. It's so hard to watch. I think we're all huge Bottas fans on the pod. He's an extremely talented driver. So justice for Bottas. I want to see him. He does not need to be in a Red Bull, but I would at least love to see him in a car that is not coming in last. So we will talk about the driver market in a minute, but fingers crossed for Bottas. And then another kind of LVP for me was Simply Lovely, which was our radio of the week. Obviously, I'm going to defend Max here. It just... I'm trying to think of a good comparison of when we've heard it, but it felt, considering that they're friends and it was his home race, it felt kind of unnecessarily petty and targeted. I don't know. I feel like most people when they win are just like, oh my gosh, yeah, I won. And their first thought isn't, oh, I'm going to stick it to my friend for being
how many laps do you think he was thinking of that radio
message? Like 20 laps for sure.
Is there a world in which it wasn't a backhanded compliment and he just wanted to say Simply Lovely, or he was, you guys think it was like targeted at Max?
I think he 100% knew what he was doing with the radio message, but I think maybe because they're friends, it wasn't really supposed to be shade. It was more
maybe it was like a bet that they've been running, and it was like Lando, haha, next time you win, like, why didn't you do that radio? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to believe, given their friendship, that it was meant in jest and relatively good-heartedly rather than to spite him, but I guess you never know.
Yeah. It was hard seeing Max watching some of his interviews. He was very composed and kind of unemotional, but just seemed kind of defeated, which it's, again, how the standards shift when you're a Red Bull driver and anyone else would be thrilled to have a P2, but it just felt like almost a disaster of a home race for him in some ways when he's won every single reincarnation of Zandvoort since it came back on the calendar, and the Dutch fans are so passionate. He did a great job of keeping it super professional and kind of to the point in the interviews, but he just was clearly not into it.
It's got to be really hard for your home race. It was also his 200th Grand Prix start.
Oh, the pressure is really insane on him. Lot.
Yeah. How are hot takes held up? For me, I said no Red Bulls on podium. That obviously did not come true. So I
like that hot take, though, Tiggy. Let's keep that one going. Yeah. Well, not to sound annoying, but mine was spot on. I had a non-Max win, which was like not too hot given the recent races, but non-Max win. And then I said driver announcement. And Tiggy,
aren't you glad? I forced you to be specific. You were mad at me at the time. You were you always make this so hard for me, but how good do you feel right now?
So good. To the point where someone DM'd us and was like, Jessa, you got it. And I was like, you're right. Thank you. So I had an Alpine driver announcement, which happened with Jack Doohan.
That is an amazing tandem hot take. I like it. Mine was a Charles Wynn. So also no, but pretty I will good. Take. Yeah, I'll take a podium and a little bit of a comeback Sunday moment for them.
Okay, so speaking of driver market updates, before we get into the action, we wanted to discuss some of the big news. Like Tressa just mentioned, Jack Doohan was confirmed for Alpine. So exciting. He is Alpine's 21-year-old reserve driver. He's done 6 FP1 sessions, so he's done a decent amount of running in an F1 car. He's from Australia, but moved to Europe when he was young to race, like many other drivers. He was 3rd in F2 last year. His dad is a 3-time MotoGP champion, which is super interesting, but he was super nice about thanking his family just for all the sacrifices they made. Overall, seems like a really nice and exciting guy. So excited to see what he can do. And I loved all the kind of buy-in, the Alpine buy-in around it with like Patrick Mahomes, the investor.
That was like amazing.
The football contract thing. And yeah, I feel like Alpine, they know how to put their investors to work when it needs to happen.
All that star power.
Yes.
So now we only have 3 seats left for next year. It's all coming together. We have 1 at Mercedes, which we'll talk about where maybe who's going to take that, but likely Kimi Antonelli, 1 at Stake, and 1 at VCarb to be Yuki's teammate. But we have a lot of drivers without seats, several potential rookies. So drivers without seats, Danny Ricciardo, Joe, Bottas, K-Mag, and Sargeant. Potential rookies, like I just said, Kimi Antonelli, very strong relationship with Mercedes and Toto. And after the race, it was confirmed that Kimi will be doing his first ever FP1 with Mercedes next weekend at Monza. And apparently, in an interview, Toto let it slip.
Yeah, he kind of leaked it.
He said something along the lines of like, yeah, something like, yeah, George and Kimi for something. And so he kind of just let it slip. So I think this is imminent. And then the last potential rookie would be Liam Lawson, who's part of the Red Bull family and a very strong contender, at least in our eyes, for maybe the seat at VCarb. So what do you guys think? We have 3 seats, 7 candidates. Who's in? Who's out? This is so hard.
It seems like we can probably knock off the table. It seems like Kimi's locked in. Toto had the slip, and then he's getting the FP1, which it's interesting given that Kimi is so young, has no F1 running experience in the Mercedes. He only won an F2 race for the first time this year. So it's really kind of Toto's belief in his future stardom and feeling like he can't miss the next Max Verstappen. But that one kind of feels like it's a done deal. I'm surprised they haven't announced it yet, though.
They'll probably do it after his FP1 or around that time, or maybe right after Monza, just to kind of build the hype. But I think it's a belief in Kimi 100%, but I think it's also a belief in George, is what it indicates to me, is that they believe that George is the number one driver, can hopefully help develop Kimi in the way that he needs to develop. If he is going to be the next future Max Verstappen, like, you need a good teammate next to you, I think, at least at the beginning, to help you figure out and get your feet under you. And so I think if they didn't have as much faith in George, Mercedes probably would have signed someone like Carlos, I would have imagined. But
That's a really good take, Tig.
In terms of the drivers without seats right now. I think the only two that may stay are Danny and Bottas.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows my thoughts on Danny. I would probably rather see Liam Lawson in the V-carb seat, but I could see them re-signing Danny just because of everything else he brings to the table. Bottas is a tough one. Like, unless they drop – here's a hot take. Well, let's Bottas could go to Mercedes. That's the Hail Mary. What is
the hailest of all Marys?
No, the hailest of all Marys is this.
Oh, I'm ready.
Checo for 2025, and they bring Bottas in as the number two to Max, because Bottas has been an incredible number two. He has proven himself as like an incredible number two driver to Hamilton. So what if that was a possibility?
That is the hailest of all Marys. Yeah. Well done.
I love that take, though. Wow. Wouldn't that be fun? With Bottas actually, at Red Bull. That would be so fun.
That seems more plausible to me than Bottas going back to Mercedes.
I think so too. And it seems more plausible than like a Danny or, honestly, sad to say, a Yuki, and definitely not a Liam going to that second Red Bull seat right away. And this obviously is all hinging upon them dropping Checo for 2025. But I don't know. If I were Red Bull, I'd put Bottas in that second seat probably over any of those three. Maybe.
I totally agree. We've talked about this so much of how a lot of the calculation and maybe why Checo's been able to hang on for a bit longer is because they don't have a ton of viable options who seem like good candidates for that second seat, especially in a situation with a tight constructors battle. And they really need someone who can be a dynamic duo style backup to Max. That's exactly what Bottas does. Remember, it was him Verbot on the podium for so long. It was Bottas was always up there with Hamilton. And really, really challenged him too and kept him on his toes in a way that Checo has never really done with Max.
Well, we'll wait and see. I think that'll be a while, because I don't think they'll announce dropping Checo for quite some time, because they just decided to keep him for the rest of the season. But we'll see.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, so getting into the weekend for practice highlights for FP1, it was very wet, windy conditions. We had Lando P1. For FP2, conditions were much better. We had a quick little moment where Hülkenberg lost the rear at one point and caused some red flags. And for FP3, it was damp conditions again. And Logan, like we mentioned at the beginning, had a really heavy shunt. Thankfully, he's okay, but it was very scary. His car was on fire, really extensive damage, basically a full entire wreck. Again, the important thing is that he was okay, but definitely threw us for a loop just seeing that.
For quali, again, for some Logan news, he was not able to participate in quali after that crash. There was a lot of gearbox damage. They couldn't get the car turned around in time. Thankfully, the chassis was okay. It's amazing. The mechanics are just so talented. The fact that it was even a conceivable possibility that they could turn that car around is phenomenal. Wow. One thing that applies throughout the whole weekend is I love the onboard cameras that really show the angles and banking, kind of the more higher positioned onboard cameras, which work so well for the banking here. They should really use this at every race, even when there's less banking. It's such an incredible
view. You could see the car like swooshing. It was wild.
Yeah.
Did you see the Haas video they posted of the ball? And it was, it was probably a TikTok trend or something, but it was like, okay, gravity, do your thing. And it just like dropped the ball down the banking. And it's crazy how steep it is.
Wild.
Yeah.
One other big highlight in Q1, there was a big impeding dispute between Checo and Lewis. Checo was on a flying lap, Lewis was on an out lap, and Checo had to back off because Lewis was in the way. Checo did make it through to Q2, but he was very fired up about this, especially wearing out a set of tires for no reason. He has so much pressure on him. He was
poor guy.
Very fired up. Lewis, a lot of people were kind of saying Lewis didn't really have anywhere to go, but Lewis did end up getting the three-place grid drop for impeding. And also, Sainz just barely made it out of Q1, set his time on his final flying laps. That was a bit stressful. For cuts, we had Danny, Ocon, Bottas, Joe, and Sargeant.
For Q2, once again, the Ferraris definitely left it to the last flying lap. They were still in the drop zone. Charles did make it out, but Sainz did not. Hamilton, that was the big news as well, also got cut in P12, which was a big surprise because he did really well in Q1. So we had some big names out in Q2. We had Sainz, Hamilton, then Yuki, Hülkenberg, and K-Mag.
I had this moment watching Hamilton out in Q2 where I was like, he must feel obviously bad that he's out in Q2, but like very optimistic that Charles is at least in the Ferrari into Q3. But then at the same time, Sainz got out. So then he's like, oh my gosh. Anyways,
yeah, he was
doing that mental math.
He was not happy after quali. He was like, well, that's that weekend done, basically. But then he had a pretty good recovery drive.
For Q3, we had both Astons, Gasly and Albon, make it. So that was really exciting. The first set of flying laps, it was a McLaren 1-2. And then on the next set of flying laps, it really looked like McLaren was ahead of Max. Max slid into provisional pole, but then immediately after, Lando got pole. It was very exciting. So then we had Lando and Max in the front row, Oscar, George, Checo in the top five, and then Charles, Alonso, Albon, Stroll, and Gasly.
Yeah, McLaren has a 100% Q3 record this season. That's insane.
Whoa. Wow.
That's you really. Think,
and that's a record that you're like, oh, well, obviously Red Bull would have that record, but poor Jacko was really
I know
pushing it on that one.
And it's only Oscar's second year in F1, and he drives like such a veteran. Like there's veterans like Checo crashing out in Q1 and Oscar's in Q3 every single race.
Yes. It's incredible. And the other pole stat from this race is that the pole sitter has not won the race since Monaco, since Charles got pole and won in Monaco. Pole sitter has not won the race. So Lando broke that, which is great.
Way to go, Lando.
And broke his own streak of not winning from pole. So yeah. All go. In all, good developments.
He does have the unfortunate stat as well. We're just like rattling off these stats.
Okay, but every I love it.
Single time Lando has started from pole, which I think has been 6 times in Formula One if you count sprints, I believe, someone else has been leading by the end of lap one. Every single time. Which, did you guys hear the quali interview on Saturday when Julian Palmer was like, are you nervous? He said he asked something about
along those
Max,
lines,
like off the start, and Lando was like, why would you ask that?
Ouch. Brutal. Yeah, it also, I think it was Naomi Schiff made a great point on Sky. She was talking about how McLaren got lucky this race, that their pace was not lucky, but just the circumstances were that their pace was so out of this world and Red Bull was really struggling and there was nothing they could do. But they were saying, she was saying, in a much more evenly matched environment, you cannot, when you're genuinely in a fight for a driver's championship, you cannot have things happen like Max passing you before turn one every time.
Yeah.
Because that would have just totally changed the dynamic of the race if the Red Bull was functioning properly.
Totally.
Speaking of changing the dynamic of the race, we had some post-quality development. So Hamilton got a three-place grid drop to P15 for impeding Checo, kind of like what we talked about. And then Albon got DQ'd from quali entirely because his floor was not in compliance with the regulations. His car was very upgraded, including those changes to the floor, and apparently it was just too wide. So he had to start at the back of the grid. But honestly, I didn't think I would be saying this, but I got to give it to the FIA lately. They've been really sticking to the rule of the law and taking no prisoners. There's no gray areas in the past couple of races. So thanks, FIA, I guess. Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all 4 stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Paddock Project and use code Paddock Project at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Paddock Project and use code Paddock Project for up to 40% off.
Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estrogen Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
Okay, so the race. Sunday came around with much better weather than we saw earlier in the weekend, which was great for the fans and great for overall operation of getting everything in action on Sunday. Almost everyone started on mediums, except notably Hamilton was on softs to try to push at the start. We've already talked a little bit about the start. It was an incredible start from Max. There wasn't even any wheelable action at turn one because Max had launched early enough ahead that he was solidly ahead, even heading into the hairpin at turn one. George also had a great start. He pulled ahead on the inside into P3 after going wheel to wheel through the hairpin. And it seems like a bit of a car issue for McLaren. They had some wheel spin, just seems like not enough power to get off the line. Crazy also that Max and George had these incredible starts and basically just went downhill from there. So Max had a 1.3 second lead over Lando for the first couple laps. And then meanwhile, Hamilton made up several places already from P14 to P11 only in the first few laps. So he started off really strong for that recovery drive.
And then we had the big Lando pass. So Lando got back up to within DRS range by lap 16, and then he really picked up the pace while Max was having some tire issues. After a few laps of just gaining and gating, he got DRS on the main straight, launched past Max heading into the hairpin at turn one. Max put in a bit of a fight through the hairpin, but Lando just had more pace. And then within two laps, Lando had broken out of DRS range. And on lap 22, he just gained 0.7 on Max and just flew away from there to the over 20 second gap that we've been referencing, which is absolutely crazy.
The commentators loved when Lando passed Max. I forget exactly what they said, but they're like, there's literally nothing you can do there. He has a tire advantage. The car is like a rocket ship. It just looks so good. But this race was really interesting. It definitely came down a lot to pit strategy as well. So Max and Lando both pitted onto hards of a 4-lap 30. The hards were a very popular choice up and on the grid to try to make it a one-stop race. After the pit stops shook out, Lando was a whopping 7 seconds ahead of Max at the middle of the race. It just kept getting bigger and bigger, like Tiggy alluded to. And then basically at that point, that's just how the race went until the end, of course, until Lando won. It's his second ever race win since Miami or after Miami this year. And his first time, like we said, converting pole position to a win. And he got fastest lap. And so he's pretty amazing.
the crazy thing is that the commentators during this were like, what is Lando trying to do? Is he trying to build up enough of a gap to get a pit stop and then get fastest lap? Because like the way he's throwing this car around the corners
over and over,
a 20-second gap. Like if I were in the McLaren garage or if you were his engineers, you would be so nervous because he was just reckless abandon, even with that much of a margin.
Which you know stressful. What I wonder is what, like when the first time Max built that kind of a lead, if people were thinking or saying the same thing, and then eventually they were like, oh, he's just doing what Max does. Like, he's just so good that he's building that lead. So maybe Lando's working towards that.
Yeah, but could you imagine just throwing it wrong into a corner and it'd be horrible.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the radio of the week, which we've talked about and are divided on, but simply lovely. For the team, so for Red Bull, it just did not look like the Red Bull we've known recently at all. The pace was not there on Sunday. Max was basically repeatedly saying there were car issues, that that was the fastest he could go. Unfortunately, on lap 30, Checo had a slow 4.4-second stop. The pit stops were really just not amazing across the board this race. I think maybe it's like shaking off some of the summer break a little bit. But
do I see like Gasly kind of almost like ran over one of his mechanics?
Yes, that was terrifying. Yeah. He got investigated and there was no further action for unsafe release. But yeah,
that David Coulthard was like, if I was ever a mechanic, I would never be the front of the car mechanic.
That was terrifying.
The car. Yeah,
truly. But yeah, like we were talking about for Checo, it was kind of meh on the fence. Started P5, finished P6, could not keep the Ferraris behind him. But like we were also saying, Max has now driven 200 Grand Prix. He got asked in the press conference if he would make it to 400, and he was basically like, absolutely not. So this also goes to my hot take of Max being retired by 2027.
2027? You think that early?
I think he's going to do 1 year of the new regs, and if Red Bull has not done well, he's either going to go to a different team or he's just going to leave the sport.
I would leave rather than go to a different team.
Yeah.
In 2027, though, he'll still only be, what, 28?
But he's got a lot of sim racing to do. He's got other ambitions.
He could just live his life. Like, I could literally see him going to school and, like, becoming a banker or something. Like, just starting an entire new career.
I don't see banker for Max, but I see.
I could see him in an office environment. Like, I don't know why. For McLaren, insane weekend. We had the trifecta with Lando with pole, win, and fastest lap. For Oscar, you know, we started P3, finished P4. A little bit of disappointing since he seemed so close, but he was in dirty air, couldn't make much progress, and definitely, I think, pulled out what he could. What do you guys think about Lando's issues with the start versus him having amazing pace? I think his bad start was just a fluke, and then the fact that he was able to pass Max and get the lead early enough on and then keep it and maintain that lead was the real like nail in the coffin as to why he really deserved to win this race.
I feel like this race, because Piastri had a bad start too, I'll give him a pass. But the stat of someone else leading the first lap every single time you start on pole is pretty damning. So I do think
he needs to do like more reaction training or something. Or maybe it's just the car. I mean, maybe just the car this weekend.
Yeah, I'll give him that for this weekend. But I think the stat overall begs the question of maybe you should work on your starts a bit more. But I think one of the most interesting questions is this constructors battle. We're down to 30 points with Red Bull at 434, McLaren at 404. So that is a big battle. But also, do we think drivers could be potentially in play? Max has 295, Lando has 225. So still a pretty big gap, but we've got several races left.
I mean, I actually haven't done the math, but maybe the math would math if Lando won every race and then Max came P2 every race for the rest of the season, Lando would definitely win constructors.
I think that's what the commentators were saying, is Lando would have to win every race.
Every race.
There's just no way in which even Max last year, what in a generational car, won, what was it, 9 or 10 races in a row. There's no way Lando wins 10 races.
Okay, but maybe not. But what if Max, imagine a couple Max DNFs or something.
And like, then imagine if we had like a Lewis, like the 2021 Lewis Max battle, but this year with Lando and Max.
I think Max will take drivers. I think constructors is more up in the air. Just
100%.
Checo is totally the question mark here. But I do think Max will take it.
I think so too, but I think it will be definitely way more exciting for the sport to at least have it come down to maybe the last couple races, have Max fight for it. Not that underdog isn't the right word, but just that he's been more struggling the past couple races, and he'll eventually probably have a little bit of a resurgence and have a win. It'll keep things exciting. I definitely think Constructors is up in the air. Like, if the most Checo is going to be able to do is P6 or P7, and Piastri's feels like he's always almost just there. Like, if Piastri could kind of take the step forward to really being in podium contention every race, that would be huge. But again, I feel like it is so much recency bias. There's also a world in which we go back to having Max win almost every race. I don't think that's super likely, but it's possible.
It's always possible.
And last thing on McLaren, it really felt like the team was proactively discussing strategy this weekend with the drivers, deferring to them. Like, they radioed and Oscar and said, which strategy do you want to go to? Which plan? They very proactively also pitched a suggested safety car strategy to Lando, which, while he had that huge gap and was able to have a discussion with him. So I like to see that. I think that's cool. It's interesting for us to see. And it's nice that the team is thinking of all options and involving their drivers.
For Ferrari, Charles started P6. This was a super result from him getting through a Red Bull, Mercedes, and a McLaren. When the McLaren is that fast, yeah, to get on the podium is not easy, especially when the team struggled earlier in the weekend. Sainz is also just so good at really grinding in that kind of P5 to P10 range. I feel like he always makes the most of it. He also had a really solid P5 result after starting in P10. So overall, I think a really great Sunday performance from them.
Definitely, but a bit of a roller coaster getting there. So Mercedes, like we said, really great drive from Hamilton, P14 to P8. He basically got a free pit stop at lap 49 to put him on softs because of the huge gap he had to Hulkenberg behind him. He just did an amazing job grinding through the midfield, picking off every position he could. And he even got up to George at the end there. And speaking of George, he had a great start, got up to P3, but fell back from there. Kind of a disappointing P7 with Lewis in P8, even though he had started way farther back. But the big news here, which we had been speculating over and trying to guess, was the Lewis and Bono era is over. Right before the weekend, it was announced that sadly, Bono will not be following Lewis to Ferrari as his race engineer, and instead he will stay at Mercedes and be promoted to chief race engineer. I think that's a really interesting outcome. I guess, I don't know, maybe Lewis just wants a clean slate, fresh start, but I feel like they've just been such a powerful duo and Bono's been such a huge part of Lewis's story. If he does want that eighth, yeah, ninth, whatever championship, it's kind of risky to start over with a new race engineer at this point in your career.
I saw an interview clip with Lewis, which was super fascinating. I think it was on Sky, and it made it sound, his comments made it sound more like it was Bono's decision, yeah, not to go.
Well, I mean, it's a promotion for him.
I think almost Lewis made a comment of, oh, he's my brother forever. We have such a great relationship. I couldn't do this without him, but he has to make the best decisions for him, best decisions for his family. We'll always be in each other's lives. So I wonder if part of it is, if you live in the UK and you would you have to move to Maranello? Like, that's a huge move.
Oh,
and what if your family doesn't, what if you and your family don't speak Italian? Like, that's kind of a,
that's tough, yeah, but also how many days of the year is Bono in the UK anyway?
That's so true. That's so true.
I'm excited for Bono. Like, I think a newness is good, a clean slate is good for Lewis, and I think Bono will have a really great new kind of legacy at Mercedes.
We'll see. I mean, maybe he'll be Kimi's race engineer and he'll have another resurgence of great driver.
Yeah, I mean, he might be like in the strategy sweet spot right now. Like,
I could just see, Tiki, what do you think? I could see Lewis just getting so frustrated with these Italian race engineers at Ferrari.
I'm going to be living for those. Well, not living for it, because I'll be very sad, but I'm very curious to hear the Italian Lewis arguments.
Oh my God. I'm going to watch the first few races, like, only tune into Lewis's radio.
driver cam on Lewis the entire race.
Oh my God. All right. To get to some of the other teams for Aston Martin, really funny in the gridwalk, Martin Brundle asked Lawrence Stroll, when is Adrian Newey starting? I love Martin Brundle, a complete savage always. Aston Martin had some strong Q3 appearances, starting P7 and P8. Alonso got points in P10, but unfortunately Stroll dropped back to P13, so not where they would have wanted to close out those starting positions. And then Stroll finished P12, but then had that 5-second time penalty that dropped him back. For V-Carb, Danny finished P12, and Yuki had a tough race and finished P17. But on the bright side, Danny finished ahead of Yuki, I guess, for Danny.
Justice for Liam Lawson. I'll say it again and again. And
again. Tiggy's right on this one. I'll admit it publicly. He was right. I was wrong. I accept that here. I feel like wow. So much at the start of the season, I was like, Danny's going to get the Red Bull seat. He's going to start getting like P8 in a V-carb and just be blowing everyone out of the water. So
to be fair, I wanted that to happen. I did want it. I wanted it. I just did not think it was likely. Sad.
For Haas, it was a great race from the Hulk. He was in the points for a lot of the race, but he just missed out at P11. On the other hand, tough day for K-Mag. He had a big trip through the gravel on lap one after starting in the pit lane due to new power unit components. So he could not make up much ground and finished P18. For Alpine, we talked about this already, but really the highlight here was Gasly. Some amazing wheel-to-wheel battles. Held his own with cars like Sainz. They had a great back and forth, a really clean battle. Gasly got points in P9, so great day for him. Ocon started P15 and finished there as well, so he wasn't really able to make up any ground.
We talked about Williams and their unfortunate weekend with the damage to Logan's car, him not being able to participate in quali, and then Albon being disqualified from quali. Albon was able to make up some ground and finish P14, but we didn't get a chance to see all these big upgrades in action. So fingers crossed for Monza. And I'm throwing one out there, pouring one out for Carlos, because I think he doesn't want to see the team having these A, mistakes, and B, just not being in any sort of points fighting position.
I know, but he shouldn't be that surprised.
It's still tough to watch.
It's still tough, but he shouldn't be surprised.
For Stake. So since gambling is illegal in the Netherlands, the Dutch government officials urged Stake, the F1 team, not to advertise its sponsor since they don't technically have a license to operate in the country. So they did not heed that warning and still ran their regular livery, which is a bit of a risk. And
it's just so interesting. Like you don't think about that kind of stuff. Like you just assume that all of your sponsors, you can just put them on your car willy-nilly, but it really depends.
Yeah. They unfortunately just struggled at the back of the pack like we talked about. So the big open question is who is going to be joining Hülkenberg at the team next year? It's still very much up in the air.
Well, now Tay is getting my hopes up for this Red Bull Bottas moonshot. And so I do hope if it's not Bottas at Red Bull, then it is Bottas at Stake.
Yes, agree. And then then he's able to get points. Poor guy.
Four standings for drivers. We have Max with 295, Lando with 225, Leclerc with 192, Piastri with 179, and then Sainz is pretty close behind Piastri with 172, and Hamilton with 154, and Checo with 139. So Checo's in P7 in the driver's championship right now.
Woof. Hamilton's definitely made up some ground. I think he was P8 before, so he's past Russell and Checo. For constructors, this is getting tighter. Red Bull 434, McLaren 404, Ferrari 370, Mercedes 276, Aston Martin 74, and then it drops down from there. The only team still with no points is Stake.
Okay, for F1 Academy, F1 Academy also returned from the break, had a great weekend at Zandvoort with two races. Overall, really amazing performances from Abby Pulling. She got pole and won a race. And also Dorian Pont got pole and won a race as well. It all seemed like a really logistically difficult weekend with the rain, but F1 Academy really impressively pulled it off, including the first race getting delayed from Saturday to Sunday. They did an awesome job handling that. And the paddock setup looked amazing in all the footage. And it was great to see so many fans in the stands during the races. And one thing I really loved was the podiums got to do a ride around the track, kind of driver's parade style, in the back of the vehicle where they could wave to the fans. Everyone could see the trophies. So I love that.
So cool. And I loved all of the different social content. The picture of all the drivers in front of the Ferris wheel was so cool. And in our Discord, everybody was live chatting these races, which I thought was awesome. Well, mostly the European people, because it was way early for us. But getting into quali, so really challenging and wet conditions. Props to all these drivers for doing so well. Abby Pulling got pole for the first race, like we said. That's her fifth consecutive pole position. Dorian Pont pulled out a great pole for the second race. And this was exciting because so far this year, Abby really has been dominating quali and the races too. So it's nice to see Dorian up there. Nerea Marti and Maya Vogt got P3 for the first and second races, respectively. So some great names up there.
And for race one, this is the race that was delayed, but thankfully was able to take place super early on Sunday. So they got that done. This was one that Abby was on pole for. So she pulled ahead from pole, led the whole race to win. Really dominant performance. And then we had Nerea Marti, P2, Maya Vogt, P3. And then, unfortunately, Dorian would have been P2, but she got a five-second penalty for a false start. And Amna Al-Kubaisi got the penalty as well. So those are really being enforced so far this season.
And I felt bad for Dorian, too, because she got that penalty. Remember the victory lap thing where she
didn't see the flag?
I just feel like she's been really unlucky with some of the penalties. So that was
totally cool. One thing that was fun was Nina Gaudemann was the wild card entry for this weekend. Like we said in the preview, at certain of the races, F1 Academy is entering a wild card driver who's from that region. And she did amazing. She became the first wild card driver to score points. That's super exciting.
So awesome. For race two, so similarly to race one, this was dominated by the pole sitter. Dorian Pain got pole and then drove away from there. Maya Vogt and Abby Pulling had a tight battle for P2. Vogt ended up getting it. And then, unfortunately, Gaudemann, the wildcard entry, and Aurelia Nobles made contact, and Gaudemann got a 10-second penalty for that. But super exciting race weekend for them. Props to them for the logistics of all this weather shenanigans and everything. So excited for more races to come. So for some news before we end, the FIA announced a rare mid-season change to the technical regulations, specifically having to do with asymmetric braking. So naturally, this fueled a wave of speculation that the FIA was responding to potential illegal setups from some of the teams. So hopefully more news on that to come. And then Liberty Media, who owns F1, purchased MotoGP back in April, and they are selling over 800 million of their F1 shares to raise funds for the $4.2 billion acquisition. That is a lot of money. Fwonk, it's one of my favorite tickers in the stock space.
Fwonk. To wrap up, we have a bit of an announcement for the Monza recap next weekend due to the Labor Day holiday here in the US. We'll be releasing that recap Monday night instead of Monday morning. Thanks for joining us. We are just so happy that F1 is back. We hope you are too, and that you enjoyed this race weekend.